We are builders, hear our call. Building knowledge, standing tall. Building character strong and true. Building community, me and you. We are builders. This is Mrs. Fernandez here with Minjun. Minjun was star of the week, and he didn't want anybody else to steal his glory. So he's going to tell you all about things in the podcast this week by himself. We went to the Opera House for a field trip recently in social studies. Tell us a little bit about what we did or what you learned there or what was interesting or anything else about the field trip you want to share.
So at the field trip, we went... At first, we got our lunches off the bus, and then we went to the ballroom, and then we performed our poems with four other classes. And for us, we had like four different parts of the poems. So there would be groups of people that did one stanza each, and then we just got to enjoy the rest of our time here in the ballroom, and we listened to the other classes too, and then after that we split up, and first we went to the clothes where some person and just showed us about like women's clothes, men's clothes, those little boys' clothes, everyone's clothes basically. Mm-hmm. And then she said that women people dress nicer when they were going to the opera house and more puffy.
Yeah, is it how women dress today?
Definitely not.
No, what's different besides puffy?
In the like 1800s, they wore like 15 billion layers.
Feels like it, yeah.
And so for them to, so they would have to have like counterweights, age for them. And since it's probably going to be hot, they had to have fans so they wouldn't faint.
Uh-huh. And they even would carry smelling salts, she said, in case they did faint. So, like, I would not want to be a woman back then just for that alone.
Plus, then she asked us if we wanted to live back then, at that time. And most of us said no because, like, there's no, like, technology, modern food, like pizza, burgers. There's in like Chipotle and McDonald's. So like or ice or desserts. So like she most people said no. Some people for some reason said yes.
I'm taking it you're a no person since you're like for some reason they said yes.
I personally said no because there was no pizza back then.
Yeah. All right, so we learned about clothes. What else did we learn about at the Opera House?
And then we went to the Regina Music Box, which someone showed us, like, a music box that her husband?
Yeah, I think it was her father-in-law got it at a pawn shop.
Yeah, her father-in-law got it at a pawn shop for, like, $3. And then they gave it to the Opera House. And then once the people came to check how much it was worth $20,000. And back then, money was different.
True. It was still a pretty big difference in the amount of money that they paid versus how much it was actually appraised for. But it was kind of cool to see because they didn't have, like, CDs and radios and stuff, right? So it was kind of cool to see how they would have listened to music if they were wealthy back then.
And the one that she showed us was one of the few working ones. Mm-hmm. And she showed us that she let us feel the music disc, and and she played it for us.
Yeah, and you guys were pretty interested in, like, how mechanically it worked, right? So I said maybe when we do our science unit, or our sound energy unit later in science, we can maybe even look at the science of a music box, because that's a kind of a cool thing to see how did they do that back then when they didn't have electricity and stuff? How did this work?
And now we're in the sound.
So, okay, what else did we do?
So then we went to the ballroom to learn a little bit about the performers and how it reopened after it was a fire hazard. And they said that James Whitcomb Riley, where we got the poem from, performed on the stage 7 times, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
7 or 8 times, and she got to show us some cool things of how they used lighting back then. They used torches on the sides of the stands.
Yeah, there were a couple of terms like in the limelight and stuff that she'd explained too, which made a little bit more sense after we saw how historically they lit things up, right? You're remembering a lot of good details, Minjun. Keep it going.
So for the last one, we went down a secret staircase into the green room, which she showed us as the dressing rooms. And then there was a boys' dressing room and a girls' dressing room. We got to see both of them. And there were, like, showers. And she told us about, like, yeah, once you go off stage, you need to listen to for your roll call on, like, the speakers. And once you're, like, let's say you're... roll call is,
or your cue, I think you're thinking of.
Yeah. Your cue, who is, someone broke out of prison. So then you'll have to, like, dress up as a cop and then go on to stage and start trying to catch the burglar.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of learned some of the jobs that are involved in plays, and also some of the, like, the behind the scenes stuff that you don't realize when you're just going to a play and watching it. So very cool. Did you like that field trip overall?
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Besides lunch and the bus ride, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was the clothes, because it was interesting to learn about how people dressed back then.
Yeah, I enjoy that part too. Awesome. Okay, Minjun, we also are in science, we kind of learned a little bit about plate tectonics and landforms that form at those different plate boundaries. Tell me a little bit about the lab you guys did on Friday.
So on Friday, we got Milky Way candy bars, and then, like, we were just exploring plate tectonics with them, like, making the cracks, pulling them apart, and then putting them back together, and then we got to eat them, and then we got a second one, and then just did everything again, and then we ate it again, and then for that...
They were little candy bars. They were the fun-sized ones.
And then for that day, Miss Fernandez wasn't there, so we had a sub, substitute teacher, and
I miss all the good labs, don't I? I miss the egg drop. I miss this one. What is something you notice as you're playing and smushing those candy bars together, pulling them apart, rubbing them against each other in opposite directions? Tell us a little bit about what you observed.
One thing that I observed was, like, once I, like, if you push your thumb harder against the side of the candy bar, it has a chance for more cracks or for the chocolate just to get pushed in to the caramel.
When you smushed some of that candy together, what I mean, obviously you saw the candy, like you said, go into the chocolate or pile up or something like that. How does that relate to actual plate tectonics? Because that's really fun, but like, what does it have to do with landforms and stuff?
Like landforms, there's like when like, is it divergent that goes like this or convergent?
Convergent comes together. Divergent, it's like divides.
Divergent makes it go apart, and then convergent pushes it back together, and then they.
So, like, if you're pushing them together in those convergent boundaries, what happened? You saw on the candy, you saw, like, kind of either part of it go into the other part, or you saw it kind of build up, right? What would that be like on the Earth's surface?
So, like, on the Earth's surface, like the the ground would, one would go above of one the ground, and one would go underneath the ground. And make, like, a little hump.
Yeah, maybe even form mountains, or depending if there's enough lava underneath, maybe some volcanoes would start to crack too, right? So all kinds of stuff. We can kind of apply that as a model to our real world that we live on. Awesome. And in a couple of minutes, the last couple of minutes together, he's going to share a little bit about where we are at in our read aloud, our global read aloud, and then boom. Just a quick summary of what we've read so far, and also talk a little bit about the global part. How are we connecting with other people across the world?
So why this is a global read aloud is because people all around the world are reading it, like in Asia, Europe, Australia, everywhere.
Yeah.
Really. And there are a few people in Indiana that are reading it, and we're a little kind of behind on reading it. Like a week or maybe more since we didn't read for.
Well, we read a little bit longer the first couple of weeks actually than we normally would. So I think we're actually about a week behind schedule.
So we're about a week behind schedule, and his mom, there's the main character, Joe. His mom went to jail, I'm pretty sure, two times. And they had to sell their house. And then Joe and his grandma were living in the car, which they called the fishbowl. And their mom was, like, somewhere else. Else in the world, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yes, and eventually they went to like eat at a restaurant, and they went, and then Joe's friend Nick let him move in right next to him since it was vacant, and then they met Uncle Frankie, who's really nice, and let them get like a TV and furniture from Frank Mart is what he calls it. And they went back, and then they went to eat food. They went to go eat outside. The grandma somehow got some money for it.
There was one time where they went to a restaurant, and then most of the time it was like a soup kitchen or something where they were giving food out, right?
Yeah. So, like, they went to a soup kitchen, and then once they got home, Grandma had a stomach ache that was really bad, but she told to Joe that it wasn't that bad, so he wouldn't worry that much. And then the next day, Uncle Frankie took him to the hospital. Oh, and he said that his grandmom's in there. So, they went into there, and he saw grandmom, and he saw that grandmom, wasn't alive. So he was really sad, and his mom was there, and he was like, when someone dies, you get help, not call the destroyer of worlds. That is what he called his mom. And then they went home together, and they got their relationship a little back together, and they made a game called Casserole Surprise since they got a lot of casseroles, and once they like eat some casseroles, they guess what casserole it is. So then when it's a tie, Joe always does the dishes so his mom doesn't go away again.
But did it work for very long?
No, and then he went to fish with Uncle Frankie, and then they fried the fish and had a good dinner, and Mom asked, does Uncle Frankie always do stuff like this? And he says, all the time. And then the mom's like, good to know. Good to know. And then the next day, he falls, and then his nose starts gushing out blood. And then he's like, hey, Mom! And then he just keeps calling out Mom, and then he realizes that she's not there. So he texts her, with Grandmom's cell phone, and then he never sees the three little dots that he's supposed to see when she's like writing back the message.
You remember so many details. Amazing. That's kind of where we've been leaving off so far. We got a little bit farther, but we'll let the next group kind of do that. All right. This is Mrs. Fernandez and Minjun. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.